getting to know you and getting to know each other better. I pray that we will be an encouragement to each other, and that today will be a blessing to each one of us. Lord, that you will speak to us, to our hearts. You know, you're the only one who knows exactly what's there in our hearts. And Lord, you still love us, which is amazing. And we're grateful for that. And we're grateful that you want us to know you and be with you. And Lord, so help us to learn about you and learn what it takes to be at your side and to know you and to worship you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Take it away, Doug.
Hey, everyone. So we have been talking about a variety of different subjects that all pertain to City's Edge and how we operate as a church and some of the most important tenets of our community. And my dad wanted me to talk about one of these. He was like, you want to talk about something? I was like, maybe. And he was like, you should talk about worship or this other thing I can't remember. And I was like, I'll do the worship one. But I'm going to preface this whole message with a warning. I actually have a disclaimer if we want to move on to that really fast. No need to read all of it, but a lot of this is very, very opinion-based, just for clarification. Worship is a subject that there's a lot of scriptural reference to it, and there's a lot of different ways that worship is applied in the Bible. But then there's still many aspects to it that are unique to different congregations, different churches, and different people. And so, as a Bantam, I'm generally inclined to believe that my opinions are correct and everyone else is very wrong. So, honestly, just believe what I have to say. But that being said, today we are talking about worship, and like all of the topics we're going through these months, I believe that City's Edge is really unique and meaningful in our approach with it. The concept of worship is really important to me, and not just because it should be as a Christian, but because I'm proud of the way that we worship together as a community. And now, you might be thinking, ah, yes, worship, the thing that we do on the Sundays that we come out and do the music, and I don't know where that accent was coming from, but hopefully everyone knows that worship is not intrinsically tied to just our music that we do, or just our sermon. It may feel more impactful or relevant on an individual level, experiencing those things, but worship itself goes far beyond any one individual practice. Worship can be a conglomeration of many things. It may be rooted in glorification, idolization, praise, lust, and devotion. But at its core, worship is the calling and exaltation to something that we love. And I'll give you a spoiler. There's really one thing that we should be worshiping. Jesus. We worship all the time. Our hearts are poised to it, and that's not by accident. It's part of our fundamental design as humans. We know this, and we've talked about it before. God made us worshipful beings because we are called to seek and exalt our Lord from the beginning to end of our lives. But we're not good at it. Nobody here is perfect because we all are all inherently fallen beings. We are each drawn to worship different things every day outside of God himself. It's very natural. It's easy to do so. Our compass is broken, and since we are not yet in this perfect, eternal communion with our God, our sense of worship is often displaced to what's around us, what's right in front of us. And there's a lot of examples of what we worship day to day. You saw some of them in the drama right here. We worship our belongings. We worship our friends and family. We worship our interests. We worship television. We don't need that slide up just yet.
Oh, yeah, we do.
It's kind of cool.
There's the common belief that because we are worshipful beings, every moment we are worshiping something. But I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that while we're made to worship, we haven't just lost our direction, we've lost our desire. I think that the reality is worship is a powerful gift we are blessed with. We can either use this gift to please God or not. And in some capacity, I think we're all aware that this power can be misused or abandoned. That we can worship the wrong things, or we can just fail to worship altogether. We can live in this state of apathy where we are completely disconnected from the sense of worship as it is meant to be. And I think we've all seen the dangers of the application of our worship, from greed to fanaticism. We've seen worship without God, worship of humans, worship of things, end in death and corruption and failure and destruction from time and time again. Worship without God is incomplete and broken. Eventually, it will fail, even if in the short term it feels significant or valuable. Verses like Colossians 3:16 and 17, I do have a slide for that one, speaks on the importance of the inclusion of God in all that we do. Let this message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians has a lot of really good stuff on worship. I'm just going to preface that. I would put a lot more of it up there, but there's some of these key aspects I really do want to touch on. And this in particular, for our worship to be complete, it needs to be in the glorification of God. That we have sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts, but also with whatever you do or say, do it as the representative of the Lord Jesus. That it's not just in those psalms and hymns that we are called to be worshiping God in all that we do. We're still not good at it. It's fascinating to look at the tangibility of worship in our world. When we love something, we inherently glorify it. But rarely are we able to truly recognize God's role in the creation or design of it. What God desires for us to do is worship him in all of these things, but not the things themselves. It's how we are directed and focused that matters the most. And we commonly fail to recognize God's control and influence in all that we do and experience. Many times, our minds are elsewhere. Our focus is completely divided. We aren't aware of the actual glorification of what's in front of us. The creator behind all of it. And it's an inherent trait for us to kind of cut God out of it. And we aren't always worried about it. And we don't pay attention to the power. It's a legitimate power that we have to worship. It is a gift. And that when it's used in a greater context outside of ourselves, it's a really powerful feeling. Let me provide an example. As many of you know, I am a nerd. I engage in nerdy things. And like every other nerd, I fall into trappings of worshiping the nerdy things that I enjoy. It happens. And I think that it's been a journey for me to realize that. I love science fiction and fantasy. Star Wars and Star Trek have been staples of my life for decades. And I'm not that old. But I can't imagine the kind of person I would be without these things. I don't know what Grant Bannon would be without an encyclopedia of Star Wars knowledge in his head or a list of his 50 favorite Star Trek episodes. But in its own right, that connection to this media is frightening. But how it falls into worship is far, far worse. See, as humans, we all experience two really distinct forms of worship. There's corporate worship and private worship. Now, corporate worship is in larger settings, and private worship is in kind of individualized settings. We experience those in different ways, of course. Corporate worship we do in these groups. This is our church time. We are engaging in a form of corporate worship. And then if you're in like a if you're going through a devotional plan or a Bible study or just your own prayer life, that is your private worship. Both, I believe, are essential to a healthy life as a Christian. But for me, most of my life with Star Wars and Star Trek was what I would call private worship. That I watched the shows and read the books on my own accord. I took time to connect with the characters, love the stories, dedicate myself to the deep, rich, and fascinating lore. I felt enriched by it. I found joy in it. And eventually I felt far more comfortable with my knowledge on Star Wars than I did on Scripture. It was a core part of my life, something that deeply mattered, still matters to me. But it took me far too long to realize just how much I unknowingly worshiped this media until I went to my very first nerdy worship service. You can pull up that slide. I took all of these pictures. In 2018, I went to a Comic-Con in downtown Portland, and I loved it. 10,000 sweaty nerds all gathered together in the same vast building under the same banner of endearment to dozens of popular nerdy IPs. There were shops, costumes, events, plays, songs, everything you could imagine. But even days later, reflecting on that experience, I kind of felt a little weird about some of my interactions there. It was as if there were people that this was the event they lived for. This is what they sought after, what they were building up for. Some of the most extravagant costumes people had worked on for years and continue to refine it. It's what they pour all of their energy, their heart, and their soul into. It's what they glorify, this experience. That it provided them some fundamental value in life that they couldn't get anywhere else. For 14 hours each day, for 4 days, they felt truly connected in their devotion to this fandom. And in that moment, when I was there, I recognized, it's like, wow, this is corporate worship. This is a united worship service. And it's stuff that I love and stuff that I resonate with. Because it's a gathering with purpose and adoration and glorification and pride and all of these things that we are united up there. It's a really amazing feeling. And it's something you can get swept up in all the time. It's a powerful tool. And I get the feeling that in some capacity, all of you have experienced this feeling before. Not necessarily at a Comic-Con or something like that, but maybe it's at a convention. Maybe it was at a concert. Maybe it was at some game of the sports variety. But we all have these experiences where we become interconnected in this single, exhilarating purpose. It's exciting and hard to replicate the feeling when you attend one of these things. It's a rush. Everyone is on the same page, sings the same songs, rallies behind the same teams. It's that sense of unity beyond ourselves. It's a worship experience. And it's even weird. There's a concert that I went to a few years ago that was... why am I forgetting the name of it? Toby Mac concert. That was it. And that was like a worship experience in of itself because it was a worship service. But there was a guy in the row right in front of us who loved Toby Mac more than I think he loved Jesus. That guy was standing up and praising and screaming like, "Let's go, Toby Mac!" And just so pumped. Toby Mac would say anything, and he's like, "Yeah, Toby Mac, that's right!" And just was incredibly enthusiastic about it. And you get swept up in these feelings. You get swept up in this excitement. Because it draws you in. That we have a tendency to place our worship in things, and we tend to cut God out of it. And my goal here isn't to guilt anyone into thinking like, oh, I cheered at a baseball game. Oh no. If anything, I know that I'm accountable to these exact same experiences we all are. I'm still a Star Wars and Star Trek nerd. I still religiously watch the movies and shows on a regular basis. The question is, how can I remain focused on the glorification of God over the media itself? It's hard. We're broken, incomplete worshipers, constantly seeking, failing to find our lasting fulfillment in worshiping God as He calls us to do. That isn't to say we can't find joy in the things He made. Like Doug said last week, we can take pleasure in the creative works we facilitate and express through God's provision, but even then, we don't often realize how He influenced our actions. It's an important thing for us to continually remember and focus on is that we were given these gifts of creativity. I know that I fail to honor God in all that I do and recognize His glory in the things that I love. I fail to worship His goodness, His offerings, and His creations. Often I start glorifying other things, and sometimes even myself. But we're imperfect beings called to live to a lasting relationship that is a constant worship with our Creator. That's the goal, which we can't reasonably do when we're separate from it. To fill that, we seek these other things to worship daily, finding our identity in the glorification of that which brings us temporary fulfillment and joy. And we're so drawn to that. I have Exodus 32 up here. We have the familiar story of the Hebrew people and the golden calf. I'll read it out. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. All the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. It really went 0 to 60. It's kind of crazy. It was just a ridiculously fast switch after experiencing the majestic power of God who saved them from captivity. The other day, I watched Prince of Egypt, which is a movie I had not seen, I think, in 23 years. Like, I think I saw it when I was really little. And then I watched it 2 times in a row in the last, 2 weeks. Just, I love that movie to death. But it's interesting looking at the Israelites, they see all of these works of God, this majestic power of God, and it kind of wraps up the story after they escape from Egypt, and it sort of cuts out, and it's like, and then Moses gets the Ten Commandments, and he brings them down to the people, and it's like, oh, that's nice and happy, and where it ends. There's a lot missing to that. Because they did this. Because they needed Moses as a grounding point, someone to help them understand, oh, yeah, there's a God. The God that got us out of there. He's cool. We should keep our focus on Him and not something tangible right in front of us. But instead, the experience really meant nothing after it happened. They became ignorant again in the vain pursuit of a hollow worship to something that was just right there, that they could have physically in front of them that wasn't God, and for some may have represented God, but was completely off basis. Moses was their accountable leader. He was keeping them in faith and focused on the sole worship of God. As soon as he left, everything went off the rails. And I kind of like to think it's like he really wasn't gone very long. They just completely lost it. Their consistency was gone. Their reminder of what true worship looked like fell away in lieu of something physically tangible for them that could bring them this temporary satisfaction. And we do that too. Because we don't always have those grounding factors. That in some ways, I believe that our private worship can become corrupted if we don't have a corporate worship to keep us accountable to each other. Churches provide an accountability in worship that I think is crucial. That we won't start going off base in what we believe because we are together as a community. All of our time as a congregation is wholly dedicated to honoring God. And with City's Edge, I think it's really cool how we do that. Because as soon as you walk through these doors, we're gathered as a body of believers. We are a church that is honoring and reverential to our God. And I want everyone here to recognize that. Our church service is all worship. Every part of it. It's not just the music. It's not just the scripture. It's everything. It's making the coffee in the morning. It's eating food together. The sign over there that says, "This too is communion," that ties into worship. That is worship. When Chris comes up and does announcements, that is part of our worship service. That's something that Richard used to bring up when he did announcements. All of this is worship. The dramas are worship. The conversations after our worship. Every part of our time as a congregation in this building is intended to be for the glorification of our God. We are his body that when united, fulfill that deep longing in all of our hearts to honor the very creator we were designed for. Now, this isn't to say that every moment we need to look at our actions during the Sunday service and comprehend how it functions as worship. That would be exhausting, because we would just be sitting around table going, I don't know if this is worshipful enough for me. It would just not only be exhausting, but it would be ultimately antithetical to how we operate as a church. In many ways, our worship is intended to be as natural and integrated in every part of the service as possible from the very beginning to the end. We don't want it to all feel forced or structured. We just want you to come in and recognize, hey, we're gathering here together as a body. And that all that we do in here is intended for the glorification of God. And that's what I think is so cool about this. And not just because I'm super, super biased, because I am. But we're working together to establish a community that keeps that focus, keeps in line, that we are purposeful in our celebration of the Lord. I could go on about how much I love our church for this, but to be honest, we're still just one church out of many that have incredible ways of worship. From different acts of service to dancing to D&D, I think that many things can fall in line as worship. That if your hearts are united in the right direction, that if you are truly seeking something as a community to honor God with what you do, that you can bind together in worship. And of course, there's boundaries. There's ways that it can be taken too far, ways that we can lose our steps. But I think that overall, there are many ways that we can glorify the kingdom of God as a community. And it's a blessing that we have a freedom to do as much as we have, like, do as much that we can. Like, we aren't bogged down by maintaining just vigilant traditions or routine practices of worship. I'm glad we don't have to do sacrifices. That we don't have to make smoothies and popcorn to appease the TV gods. We have an incredible privilege to express our love for God in many, many forms. And if I have anything for you to take home today, it's this. Worship is a beautiful and powerful gift that we are given. Remember that. Reflect on it. Look at our service and consider the ways that we can continue to attribute our glory to God. That we can take it away from ourselves. We can take away what is directly in front of us and realize what the ultimate purpose of it is. It's what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do as we strive to honor God in our earthly lives and what we have to look forward to in our eternal communion with Christ. It's completion. It's wholeness. And it's true, perfect worship with our God. That's what I've got. Any questions?